In everything, pray. That was the verse I had Brad read this morning. It's in your bulletin. It says, in everything, pray. It covers the gamut of emotions, from the very sorrowful to the ecstatic, the joyful parts of our life. In everything, pray. The passage we have today, we're getting towards the very end of the book of James, and he's wrapping up this letter. It's a practical letter. It's about how we handle ourselves in life as Christians, and he's shown us how to handle our time, our treasure, our temper, our truth. And now he has some final thoughts on how to respond to tribulation in our lives. And yes, even happiness in our lives. And that answer is prayer. And James is a great authority on the subject of prayer. He had a nickname in the church, kind of a humorous one to us. He was called Old Camel Knees. Because if you ever see camels, they're on their knees, you know, when they're not out there, you know, carrying a load or carrying somebody, they're on their knees, and their knees are very hard and thick and tough. And it is said that James's knees were like that because he spent so much time kneeling in prayer. And what a testimony to have, that we spend that much time in prayer before our God. And so when he has something to say about prayer, we ought to listen. And I believe, I'm not sure, I'm still working on it, but I think I've got two more messages on prayer before we move on. In James, I'm still working through the details. I'm not sure if it'll be one message or two, but I think two. But for today, we have verses 13 through 15, and it says, is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. And you understand when you're praising God, that's prayer. You know, you're singing to God. You're happy. You're joyful. And it's still prayer. Prayer is just talking to God, folks. Don't make it like all mystical. I mean, there's a supernatural aspect of prayer, but you know, it's communication, it's conversation with the living God, and we're so privileged to be able to do that. And so is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And that's the passage for today. And I totally forgot the controller. Okay, maybe
one last time.
Can, yeah. Now, can you get that for me? This is an obstacle course. But it's a good obstacle course. Means good things are happening. You know, I was at a conference yesterday, and the numbers vary, but there's about 25,000 Baptist churches in America or something like that. And like over 12 or 13,000 of them don't baptize a single person in a year. And we've done this quite a bit this year.
Amen.
You know, praise God. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. These are important things. I digress. But prayer. And usually when I'm addressing a group about prayer and I'll say, how many of you are satisfied with your prayer life? Usually you don't get too many hands raised. It's like we all pray, but we all kind of feel inadequate in some ways about our prayers. And I'm probably going to be talking about that. That's what the next two. This is really about something specific, but I think the next two is going to be really about how to have effective prayer, because that's the next verse is about the urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. And sometimes we don't experience the power in our prayers that we would like to. And so I'm going to address that, I think, for the next two messages. But today, in everything, pray. Making sure I got all my stuff here. All right. So, is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Pray when you are overwhelmed. Suffering. This suffering, it's a special word. In some places, it can be translated a few things, but it's to endure hardship, to endure troubles, to be afflicted or distressed. It could be talking about mentally or emotionally. It includes doubt, anxiety, money issues, relationship issues. Suffering can lead to anger. It can lead to self-pity, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, complaining, all these things. And so James says, you know, when you're feeling this way, don't lash out at the person or the situation or whatever. Pray. Go to God about this. But pray for the right thing. You know, earlier in James, he says you pray and you don't receive because you ask for the wrong things. You know, a lot of times, you know, when we're having a problem with somebody, we're praying for them to change. And what God is saying, you need to work on you. You need to work on you. And so sometimes we're not praying for the right thing. But prayer in this context is not just for relief. You know, a lot of times when we pray, we just want it to stop, right? We say, you know, change this, Lord. But a lot of times, God's not wanting to do that quite yet. Sometimes we need to pray for endurance. And we need to pray that God would increase our patience, our strength, because we could be failing in our strength. You know, pray when you are overwhelmed. You know, there's a verse that's not in the Bible that people say is a verse in the Bible, but it's not. And it's this verse right here, which really isn't a verse. God will never give me more than I can handle. Okay? That is not in the Bible. Okay? Just you look it up, you find it, you show it to me, because it's not there. You'll be looking the rest of your life. But I challenge you to do that, because you'll read the whole Bible that way, looking for it. Looking for it. But it's not in there. Now, there is a verse that talks about temptation. Okay? God will not give you temptation it's not that you can't handle the temptations. The verse says, I will not give you temptation that I do not provide a way for you to escape it. So when you're tempted with something, God will provide a way to escape that temptation. But no, he doesn't promise that you're not going to be overwhelmed. Because let's face it, if God, you know, if that verse was true, that fake verse, that God will never give me anything more than I can handle, what do you need God for? If you can handle it, if you're not going to receive any distress, any tribulation or adversity in your life that you can't handle, if you're never going to receive that, then what do you need God for? Why do you need His strength? Why do you need His truth in your life? If you can always handle everything that comes your way, that doesn't even make sense. Why did Jesus even have to come and die on the cross? Because we can handle our sin, right? I mean, that's what we're saying when we buy into this stuff. In fact, Paul himself wrote in Corinthians, he says, "For we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed." Now, this is Paul. Now, you know Paul's pretty tough. I mean, you read in Acts about all what he did. He held up under beatings and scourgings and shipwreck and, you know, I mean, all this stuff, right? I mean, you think everybody could handle something, it'd be him, right? He says, we were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself. And you know, sometimes there's probably people in this room that have actually been there. And maybe you're there right now. You are despairing of life itself. You're like, why am I where I at? Why am I here? Why has all this gone on? You know, when everything leaves you, if your health leaves you, if your relationships leave you, if your money leaves you, if whatever it may be, if all whatever that life is has turned on you, do you understand that God is there? That His love doesn't stop. He loves you. He wants to work in your life. But so many times when these things happen, we try to handle it in our strength. And that's what can be depressing, because when we handle it in our strength and it's beyond our strength, that's when you get frustration, depression, you know, all these things that go with it. And yet we don't turn to God. Because, you know, so he says, indeed, we personally had a death sentence within ourselves. Why? So that we would not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead. Why is it we're so quick to trust ourselves and our abilities, and it's so hard for us to just trust God? When you read something in His Word, and you know it's true, and you know it applies to your life, why do you not believe it? That's, you know, that's something we have to reckon with ourselves on. Because we try to handle it ourselves. And when you try to handle it yourself, you're saying, I don't need God. He has delivered us from such a terrible death, and He will deliver us. The terrible death is hell, folks. There's a heaven and a hell. And hell is not fun. Hell is not partying with your friends. Okay? Hell is punishment, and it's eternal. It's forever. It's not good. And yes, your friends may be there, but you're not going to see them. And you're not going to party with them. The Bible describes it. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. But praise the Lord, He has delivered us. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has delivered us from such a terrible death. And you know what? He will deliver us. He's talking about the situation, whatever it was that Paul was in. And he says, we have put our hope in Him that while He will deliver us again... that He will deliver us again while you join in helping us by your prayers. You see, he's talking about having prayer in the midst of the affliction. And it says, then what? Then many will give thanks. I like, you know, the song, it was so appropriate. We sang Give Thanks this morning. We should be thankful. You know, a lot of times we're so steeped in our problems, we forget to be thankful. And you know, when you have a thankful heart, it kind of lifts the other stuff. When you just have an attitude of thankfulness, it makes the other stuff easier to handle. It says, then the many will give thanks on our behalf for the gift that came to us through the prayers of many. If you don't pray, you cut yourself off from God's power. Think about it. And when you cut yourself off from God's power, that will result in feeling overwhelmed, beat down, defeated, depressed, all those negatives. Because you cut yourself off from the one that can actually help you when you don't pray. So why then do we wait till the bitter end to pray? You know, we get in a situation and we work, try, you know, do all these things. And then when it's all done, we go, well, I got nothing else left. I might as well pray. shouldn't that be the first place we go? Now, that doesn't mean we don't put feet to our faith. You know, in faith, we pray about the situation, and then you do whatever the Bible says you should do in that situation. I mean, you got to, faith without works is dead, remember? Okay, that's the whole point of James's letter here. And so, a lot of times we don't pray, we just work, and we get depressed. And then other times we say, well, I'm full of, I'm just going to pray. Well, God wants you to do something too. You know, it's kind of like I need a job. And you could go home and just go, I need a job, I need a job, I need a job. God, give me a job. And sit there and the phone never rings. Duh, you never went out and applied anywhere. Right? So you pray first, Lord, I need a job. I need to provide for my family, you know, whatever that may be. And then, Lord, guide my steps, direct me, help me. And then you go out and you look. And see what God does. See where God takes you. Prayer should be our first move, not the last resort. Well, I've been looking for a job for 2 years, so I might as well pray. I wish you'd have prayed 2 years ago. Okay? You might not have waited so long. So pray when you are overwhelmed. Pray when you are overjoyed. So is anyone in you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Praises to God are prayers too. We often go to God when things go wrong. I mean, don't we though? Things go wrong, go to God. What about when things go right? I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of this. When things are going good, it's like don't upset the apple cart. You know, just enjoy it, you know. But you know what? God wants us to go to Him when it's good. Are we as quick to go to God when things are working out as when things are not working out? That's really the question we ought to ask ourselves. There's a song that we've sang here a couple times, and Actually, I heard it, and I brought it to their attention, and they've done it a couple times, and it's called Get Down. You know? And I like it because, you know, I'm a rocker. I kind of like rocky stuff. And so that really caught my attention. But the words is what really caught my attention. And it addresses both. That's what I liked about it so much. It wasn't just about when I'm down. You know? It was about both. It says, looks like the end of the line, too late, you've run out of time. Your tank is empty and you're far from home. You ever been there? And now you got nowhere to run and plan B is already done, okay? You already went through plan A, that didn't work, plan B's not working, now what? And it says, the fight you're facing is impossible. What do you do when there's nothing left for you to do? Get down. Get down when you have no answers. Get down when there is no way. Get down when you're holding hopeless. Get down on your knees and pray. Amen. But then there's the second part. I mean, that's the part when everything's falling in on you. But then the second part. Your life was over and done, but now your miracle has come. And all your tears have turned to dancing. So sing your praise to the one where comeback stories come from. He's the king of second chances. So what do you do instead of when there's nothing left for you to do? It's so what do you do when he does it all for you? You get down. When you got no answers, you get down when there is no way, you get down when you're holding hopeless, you get down on your knees and pray. But the second part of the chorus, get down when you're on the highest mountain. Get down when the good times stay. Get down because he wants to hear you. Get down on your knees and pray. And then there's a little bridge in that thing where it says, you can't get up till you get down. I love that song. Yeah, I like the tune, but I like the words better. Because they have meaning. And sometimes we're down because we haven't prayed. And we just stay there. You know, there was a cycle in Israel. You read the book of Judges. Really ugly book. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, everybody just did what they felt like. Kind of like our country now is trying to go to. Hey, what's right for me may not be right for you, but I should have a right to do it. That's what the country says. Okay? Everyone's doing what they think is right. Because, folks, there's absolute truth that's in this word. There's right and wrong. There really is. There is right and wrong, regardless of what the world says. But when you read the book of Judges, there's a cycle. God blessed the people and they prospered. But then the people forgot. They got used to the blessing. It's just like it's going to go on forever, no matter what we do. And they drifted away from God. And you know what happened? God cursed them. And they ended up in bondage. And then, you know what? Then the people prayed, God, deliver us. And then you know what God did? He delivered them. And then you know what they did? They rejoiced. And they were thankful. And they praised God. And then you know what happened? God blessed them. But then you know what happened after that? They forgot God again. And then God would bring in adversity. And it happened over. And I mean, I don't forget how many judges. There was like 13 of them or 14 of them in the book of Judges. It's the total pattern all through the book of Judges. And what the judges were, they were men and women. There was a woman also, Deborah. And there were men and women that God raised up to deliver them. But why go through all that? But is that not a picture of our life many times? We get up, we do well, we forget God. Next thing we know, we got a problem. Then we turn to God. He delivers us, you know, over and over again. Listen, it may actually be more important to pray while you are prospering than when you're not. Why? Because when things are going well, we can forget God and create a crisis that does not have to happen. Because if you stay close to Him, believe me, it won't eliminate all your problems, but it'll eliminate a bunch of them. Because problems come to everyone, you know, regardless of where you're at with God. But many of the problems I've dealt with, just my own creation, by not staying close with Him. You know, be thankful. It really helps to be thankful. We deserve nothing. Well, we do deserve something. We deserve hell is what we deserve. But God in His grace, you know what grace is? Getting what you don't deserve. And God has given us many things that we don't deserve. And we should be thankful for that. He doesn't have to do it. He already sacrificed His Son on our behalf that we might have life. All the other stuff is grace. It's blessing. It's stuff that He didn't have to do, but because He loves us, He does it. We should be thankful people. Regardless of our situation, regardless of what we're going through, we should be thankful people. So pray when you're overwhelmed. Pray when you're overjoyed. Pray when you're overcome. Verses 14 and 15. See, at the beginning he says, any of you suffering, he should pray. Any cheerful, he should sing praises. Verse 14, is any among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. These are two separate situations in these two verses. Verse 14, verse 15. Now, pray when you're overcome. So pray when you're overcome by your sickness. Okay? When you're overcome by your sickness. So what does it say? Call for the elders of the church. It's initiated by the sick person. You know, as elders, as the deacons, myself, we do sometimes visit sick people. You know, people in the hospital, people having problems. We do that. But if you want to be anointed and prayed over, it's up to you to call us and say, hey, I'd like you to do this for me in faith. And so he says, call for the elders. And I want to explain this verse. It's sometimes a little misunderstood. It says they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. Look, olive oil in Bible days, that's medicine. You know, there's some people that are kind of out there a little bit, that kind of hyper believers or whatever, and they think, all I need is God. I don't need doctors. I don't need medicine. Okay? Listen, God gave us the ability to make medicine and, you know, invent x-ray machines so we can see bones and things. Okay? But do you go to God first? Okay? And it says, it really, a better translation would be having anointed him with olive oil. In other words, here's a person, you get sick, and so you go to the doctor, or maybe it's something you can handle over the counter, and so you go buy it, you know, whatever, and you do it. But you know what? Things aren't happening. You're taking the medicine. You're trying to do what is right. Now, you've already prayed about it. You know, Lord, heal me. Okay, Lord, you know, my back's bothering me, you know, my hip, my whatever, I have this condition, you know, whatever it may be. You pray about it, and then you go, and in your faith, you trust God, you go to the doctor, they give you a prescription, or they say there's a treatment, or they set the bone, or, you know, whatever it may be, and you're in this process, but maybe things aren't working. So when things aren't working, call the elders. And that oil, it's like a double meaning. Because oil was medicine in Bible days, and it's also it's a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. And so you do the things you can do, and you call on God, and you anoint with oil. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And so having anointed him with oil, and then it says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean, oh, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we end our prayers with that, like it's some sort of magic word that's going to make that prayer happen. Okay? Because you know, somewhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you know, Jesus says, you pray in my name, and so we slap that on there, you know? Because that's like the kicker. You know, that's the one that's going to make it happen. That's not what it means. In the name of the Lord, it indicates a willingness to place your prayer into the sovereign will and purpose of God. You're saying, Lord, I'm doing the things I know to do. I've called upon you. I'm anointed with the Holy Spirit and with oil, taking the medicine, and Lord, in your name, whatever you do is good with me. I trust you, Lord. You are sovereign. You know what you are doing in my life, and I trust you. That's what you're saying when you say in Jesus' name. You're saying, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you're saying. You're trusting yourself to His sovereignty. We're quick to say, oh, God is sovereign, but then when things happen to us, we kind of forget that part. We just want to say, God, fix it. But in His sovereignty, He may not fix it because He's using that adversity to try and do something else in your life. Do you trust Him with that? That's where the rubber meets the road, folks. So that's when you're overcome by your sickness, that's verse 14. Now verse 15 is a whole different ballgame. Because that's when you're overcome by your sickness, was 14. When you're overcome by your sin is 15. And you may say, well, where are you getting that? Well, I'll tell you. So he says, anyone you sick, call the elders. Pray over them, anoint with oil, take your medicine, pray, okay, in the name of the Lord. And then it says the prayer of faith will save the sick person. But that word sick there is not the same word as the word sick in the previous verse. It is totally a different word, translated the same in English. The prayer of faith will save the sick person. The Lord will restore him to health. And then look what it says. If that's where this comes in. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. This particular word, sick, means weariness of mind. Weariness of mind. This describes a person who is worn out by a sickness that was brought upon him as a result of sin in his life. You ever seen somebody that you know has lived a life of sin? I've seen some of these pictures. People will be on TV, they're interviewing, they've been drug addicts or prostitution or, you know, whatever. And you look at them and they might be like 28 years old and they look like they're 50. I mean, they are worn out. Not that you're, you know, if you're 50, you're, you know. But, okay. And I'm older than 50, okay. But you know, you can just say, wow. Sin takes a toll on you, folks. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Sin takes a toll. And that's what this word is talking about. Worn out by a sickness that was brought on him as a result of sin. That verse that I read just before we took the Lord's Supper. Whoever eats and drinks the cup in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why many are sick and ill among you. And many have fallen asleep. Nice way of saying died. That's why many of you are sick and many of you die. Do people die because of their sin? They absolutely do. So he's saying, hey, you know what? Call for the elders. Have them anoint you. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person. And the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The Lord will restore you and forgive you. If you're sincere. If you admit you're a sinner. A Christian should never approach a doctor without first approaching God. Because the root of your sickness may not be physical, it may be spiritual. Always look within yourself first. Start with you. You know, when I have a problem with someone, I've trained myself to try and look at myself before I get all mad at them, before I get all worked up. Did I do anything? Is my heart right? Do I have a good attitude or a bad attitude? I mean, what's my attitude in this situation? Start with you. Because you only think you know what the other person is thinking or doing or whatever, but you know what you are thinking. You're guessing with them. But you know where you're at. And if you don't know where you're at, then ask him. He'll reveal it to you. What's David say? He said, show me, Lord. Reveal to me if there's any iniquity within me. You know what? If you ask that, you want an answered prayer? You want to experience answered prayer? Be bold enough to ask that prayer. And see what pops in your head when you do. Because God will reveal to you where you're kind of off base. He will reveal that to you. Always look within yourself first. you know, doctors, medical doctors, they say, you know, they'd be out of business if people got rid of bitterness. You know that? Bitterness has physical side effects. And people have these problems. They go to the doctor. They're getting drugs. They're getting, you know, all this stuff to help them. And the problem is nothing wrong with their body. The problem is they're bitter at somebody, and it's consuming them. You got something against somebody? It's going to consume you. You may think you can handle it, or you may think I can deal with this, but you know what? Over time, it will take its toll. And the sad thing is, it doesn't have to be. The Bible just says, put away all bitterness. Just forgive. Forgive like you were forgiven. Did you deserve to be forgiven? No. None of us did. But God in His mercy and grace forgave us. And you know what? The Bible says, if you don't forgive as you were forgiven, I will turn you over to the tormentors. And I've seen some people that are just tormented all the time. And I'm thinking, give it up, man. Just, is it really worth it to hold it against this person all these years? Is it really worth it? Just give it up. Let it go. Turn them over to God. God can deal with them way better than you can. So pray when you're overcome by your sickness and by your sin. Look within yourself first. I love this. The French writer Voltaire, you may have heard of him. He once held up a Bible and said, in 50 years I'll have this book in the morgue. That was a statement. Because he was bent, he's French, and so there in France he was very influential, and he was going to stamp out the Bible. 50 years after he said that, he was the one that was in the morgue because he died. And the Geneva Bible Society had bought his house and was using it to store Bibles. Is that cool? And you may say, well, what has that got to do with the message today? Right? Well, number one, I just thought it was cool because I came across it while I was studying for this. But here's why God moved me to kind of wrap this thing up with this. The Bible is still with us today. Many have tried to stamp it out. Many have said it is not relevant. Many have said it's just fairy tales and, you know, all those kinds of things. But the Bible is still with us today. It is righteous, it is reliable, and it is relevant. A lot of people say it's not relevant. Well, it sure is. Did all this stuff what I talked about today, is that relevant? I mean, has most of us gone through, if not all of us, gone through these kind of things and maybe responded the wrong way and paid the price that way, responded the right way and maybe reaped the benefit or the blessing from that? It's still relevant. It's still true. And that's why I put that on there, because many have tried to stomp it out. Some of us may just kind of forget about the Bible. And we don't apply it to our life. But it's still relevant, it's still true, and it's reliable. What it says works. And so the reason I put it in there was this statement is because what I've just preached to you works, folks. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Are you going to try to apply it to your life? Because it works. James tells us to pray in every circumstance. Everyone. In the good times, the bad times, the kind of lost times, the, you know, emotional times, all the times. In everything, the verse said. In everything, pray. And he tells us to pray. Why? Because often we don't know what we should even do. And often we don't know what God's going to do. You know, sometimes the Bible says to do something you don't want to do. That's just truth. I don't want to forgive that guy. He burned me. I'm not going to forgive him. But the Bible says I should. Why should we? Because you know what? We don't know what God's going to do. And He may take your humble attitude and your obedience and turn whatever it is that's going on in your life around. But as long, what does the Bible say? God resists the proud, right? When we're prideful, that's what unforgiveness is, folks. Let's just call it what it is. It's pride. I'm not forgiven. I'm not forgiving them. I'm letting them off the hook. Well, who are you to not let someone off the hook? God forgave you. We should forgive them. Whoever it is. Because you know why? You don't know what God's going to do. And the problem is, a lot of times we want Him to do it now, and He's not ready now to do it. And so we say, well, I'm having a humble attitude, but nothing's changing. Well, whose timetable are you on? It's His. Humble yourself. It's not your timetable. It's God's. Humble yourself. Is He Lord of your life? That's a question. Because who's ever Lord is the one that calls the shots. Is it you or Him? It's really the question. We don't know what we should do many times. But you know, a lot of times we do know what we ought to do, and we're choosing not to do it. For whatever reason. This book is reliable, it's righteous, it's relevant. Do what it says. You know, there's a thing I tell the girls that I, when I teach at the pregnancy center, and there's a thing I tell them. And I tell them, you know, are you going to trust God or trust yourself? You going to do what's right? Or you're not going to do what's right? I would rather do what's right, because there's a book, you know, you want to read it. I think it's Deuteronomy chapter, I'm just shooting from the hip here. It's Deuteronomy, I think it's 28. It's about blessings and curses. And it says if you do all these things, the blessings will overtake you. It's almost as if you're running away from the blessing, but you can't get away from it. You just get blessed. Anyway. But it also says if you don't do the things that I've written, then the curses will come after you and overtake you as well. And I don't know about you, but I would rather obey the Bible and get the blessing, even though it may not be what I want to do for whatever reason, than do what I want to do, but be in opposition to God and then have the curse come on me. The bottom line is the choice is ours. Because the only thing you can give God is your will. You can't give Him anything else. He gave you free will. You choose. Like Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because the children of Israel had choices. They could serve the gods of the Canaanites, or they could serve the one true living God. And we all make that choice every day. Am I serving myself? Am I serving my belief or whatever? Or am I serving God? Yeah. We don't always know, but one thing we do know is we should always pray. We should always do. Sometimes you don't know what to do. But one thing you always know you can do, and that's pray about it. With a right heart, a right spirit, a right attitude, in thankfulness, and just wait and see what God does. Maybe some in this room that You never, your prayer, I remember, before I accepted the Lord, I would kind of pray. I mean, I thought I was praying. But if you don't already have a relationship with God, the only prayer He wants to hear from you is the one where you ask Him to forgive you. We have to go before God and say, Father, I have sinned. I have done wrong in my life. I deserve punishment. But God, I'm asking you to forgive me. And I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in payment of my sin and the sin of the world. And you rose Him from the dead in victory. And He rose and He ascended back into heaven to be with you. And right now, He is there interceding for us before the Father. Now, if you believe that, you just need to ask God to forgive you. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Okay? That's it. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. That's it. That Jesus Christ is Lord, God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. And if you have never done that, this is your opportunity because, my friend, if you haven't done that, you're already condemned by your sin. Already. But the good news is that Jesus paid the price for your sin. And you don't have to pay the price yourself. Gosh, what a great, great act of love that was. So my question for you is, do you need to pray the one prayer that makes all the difference? You can pray about your health or about your relationships or about your money. That's fine. But the one that really matters is about your eternity. Have you prayed that prayer? That's the one that matters. For the rest of us, has God pricked your heart in some way? Do you feel overwhelmed, but you've been handling it yourself? Do you forget God in the good times? Do you pray for God's sovereign will to be in your life, even though that will may be something you don't really want to deal with? It's a time to reflect. We can have our heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to give everyone total freedom. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Mike, I have never prayed that prayer, that most important prayer, to receive Jesus into my heart, to accept Christ as my Savior, to escape hell because of what Jesus did on the cross. I've never asked Him to forgive me. I've never admitted my sin. And I need to do that. Would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that you would make that decision. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Because you know what? We don't know if we have tomorrow. And you heard this message for a reason today. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I kind of forget God in the good times. Not on purpose, but kind of get wrapped up in other things and kind of leave Him out a little bit. Anybody like that? I see those hands. I see that hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Amen. I mean, it's just something we need to think about from time to time. How many would say, Brother Mike, I got some adversity in my life and I've been kind of handling it the wrong way. And God has shown me something today regarding that. Anybody like that? I just need prayer in that. Amen. God bless you. A lot of hands. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I need to change something. Something has come into my mind. God has put it there. I need to change the way I'm handling something and I recognize that. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, help us to be submissive to your word, submissive to your will. Help us, Lord, to recognize you in all the situations of our life. And then not only just recognize you in that, but Lord, to follow your word and what it says regarding those situations. And Lord God, help us as we go forward in this life that we would reap the benefit of knowing you, Lord, having a relationship with you. Be with these ones that raise their hand, Lord. Help them, Lord, to make wise decisions. Help them, Lord, to be sensitive to your spirit, that they would respond in the way that you would have them respond, that you would be glorified and that you could work in their life in a greater way. And I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time as Kathy plays. You do business with God. If he's pricked your heart, you need to talk to him. Thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth it contains. Lord God, help us to respond to how your spirit works in our hearts, Lord. When he says we need to address something, Lord, help us. Help us have courage. Help us have faith, Lord, to do what you ask, that you would be glorified, that we would benefit, Lord, in our life, in our walk with you, that Jesus would be glorified and lifted up, and that this world would be impacted because of what you have done in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.